I would also like to welcome warmly all the participants joining via Zoom and MixLR. And I would now like to invite Venerable Bhante to kindly commence with the Dhamma talk for today's session for our mindfulness. Thank you, Bhante.
Dear mindful friends, today, another Saturday, we are gathered here for our usual program, and we will take some time to discuss about our practice, maybe around 20-30 minutes. With that, we can start the meeting. Then we will gradually move to your experience sharing. So today, I wanted to tell you about something regarding your mind. Now, in our mind, we always have some projection towards future or past. Usually we go after a goal, destination, some kind of a target in our mind. So this is happening all the time, maybe without even your attention, without awareness, it is naturally happening. So let's say maybe early morning, you wanted to get to your office fast. So you get into the car with a rush. You try to spend a few minutes and try to reach your destination. Let's assume that you have reached that place safely. And are you happy? No. Then again, your mind will create some other destination. You have to finish so much of work within maybe 2-3 hours. So that is your destination, that is your goal, the target inside your mind. Even after finishing a few hours, still your mind is creating some kind of a goal target. So this is always happening. When you get a new car, after some time, you want something else. You want something better. Maybe you will get a new iPhone. And after a few days, you hear that another version is released. So this nature, this goal, this destination is always happening in our mind. It is always creating some kind of a destination. You are not happy right now at this place in the present moment. Instead, if you achieve this and this, then only you will be happy. If you go to this destination, you will be happy. If you achieve your career goals, maybe education goals, maybe fortune goals, maybe some other thing. If you achieve, then only you will be happy. Maybe you are going after education, you are going after your professions, maybe you are going after fortune, you are going after fame. So all these things are projections, destinations, goals that are created in our mind. So whenever you reach something, it is gone in an instant and new goal, new destination is created in your mind. So this is the life that we are living. Most of us, we live so many hours focusing on our money or the professions or the work. So that is how most of the lives are spent. So if you consider, if you think about it, maybe you are spending 12 hours at work and you want to spend more and more hours. If I ask whether it's something that you enjoy, if I ask whether you enjoy your work, most people, they say no. Usually they hate their workplace. They spend long hours, they are maybe 10, 12 hours per day they spend, and still they don't like that work they are doing. So this type of a nature, this type of a problem we have in our mind. So most people, they think if I achieve this much income, then I will be happy. If I achieve this education, I will be happy. If I get these material things, I will be happy. So all the time, in a way, you are postponing living in the present moment, and instead you expect a beautiful future, a beautiful tomorrow you are expecting. So that is how you spend your time, always thinking about a future time. And you are postponing your life. You are postponing living. So let me tell you a small story about Pollyanna. In her time with her aunt, now she newly arrived to her aunt because her mother passed away a long time ago. Then recently her father also passed away. Then she came to live with her aunt. So after arriving, aunt thought that this child need to be behaved. She's running wild, so I will create this timetable, this schedule for her. Then after creating a fully packed timetable, she explained this timetable to Pollyanna. Okay, this is the time you will wake up and you will take a wash. Then you will eat your breakfast. Then you will study for 2 hours mathematics, then 2 hours music. Like that, she created a timetable for her. So after going through the timetable, Pollyanna asked this weird question. She asked, where is the time to live? In your schedule, in your timetable, I don't have a time to live. She is complaining. So same thing is happening in our lives as well. We have a fully packed schedule. We have so many destinations. We have so many targets. And we forget to live. We think if I achieve this type of education, then I will start living. Then after achieving your education, you think that if I get a good job, then I will start living. Then after getting a job, you think when I get married, I will start living. Then after getting married, you think when I get children, I will start living. Then after getting children, you think when they grow up, we will relax and we will start living. And by the time when they grow up, you are too sick to live your life. Now you are old age upon you. So now you are too late. So most people, they end their lives with frustration because they forgot to live. They didn't get a chance to live this life. So instead, they were postponing their life. They were postponing living. And they think that in a future day, the time will come. In a future day, I'll be happy. In a future day, I'll be satisfied with whatever I have. So that's the usual way of world, the usual way of our mind that is working. But if somebody is seeking after some peace in their mind, some happiness in their mind, they have to realize that you can't postpone this for a future time. Instead, you have to make sure that you are living your life every day. You are living in the moment. More you live in the moment, more you are peaceful and happy. More you go after different projections and destinations, then more sorrow it will create. So if you can be happy about the present moment, if you can accept the moment that we live in, then that is the peace and happiness you want to achieve in your life. And when you get hold of the present moment, then you accept that moment more and more, then you realize my mind is creating peace and happiness within itself. I don't have to go after different material things. Instead, my mind is happy right here, right now, in this place. So that is why we practice. So we are not preaching religion here. Instead, we are talking about some kind of a peace in your mind, some kind of a happiness in your mind, how to be glad about whatever the stuff that you already have. So that type of a practice we are doing. So initially, although we easily talk about this, initially, if you try to be happy with the present moment, that is almost impossible. Your mind is, as soon as you start, your mind will start jumping here and there. You will feel even it is running more than it used to run. Then you start your practice. Then you start to be mindful. You feel that it is running even faster. It is jumping here and there more aggressively. So that's fine. That's the nature of your mind. So in order to develop this skill, we get hold to our bodily sensations. Maybe while walking, we try and notice what we can feel when we walk. Let's say if you feel the ground, maybe the hardness of the ground, maybe the temperature of the ground, maybe the texture of the ground. If you notice it, if you feel that sensation, then you realize I am in the present moment. And my body is my anchor to be in the present moment. As long as you have your attention with your body, you are certain, it is guaranteed that you are in the present moment. So that way we start our training. While sitting, we try to observe our bodily sensations. Maybe a breath is there. Maybe you can feel the pressure on your back. So whatever you feel, you just become aware of it and just try to pay attention to it. As long as you observe your breath, as long as you feel the pressure on your back, you are certain, it is guaranteed that you are in the present moment. So with our bodily sensations, we get hold to it. We try and introduce our mind to the present moment. We try and be in the present moment intentionally. So that is our practice. Let's say you are having a meal. If you notice how your hands are working to deliver your food bite by bite, if you notice how they are grinded in your mouth, if you notice the taste, then you are certain, you are guaranteed that you are in the present moment. Let's say while sweeping, if you notice how the broom is moving, how the pressure is applied, then you are guaranteed that you live in the present moment. While brushing your teeth, if you notice what you feel when you brush, then it is a guarantee that your attention is in the present moment. So in a way, this is more like a skill that we have to develop in our mind. To facilitate that, we get hold of the bodily sensations. And when you do that, you can see, compared to your bodily sensations, compared to your breath, compared to your feet, the sensations of the feet, you feel that your mind is going to sounds, your mind is going to thoughts, your mind is jumping here and there. So that is fine. Now you have some reference, which is your body, and you can feel that your mind is running. That is fine. What we do is that we become aware that our mind is running after sounds. We become aware our mind is going after thoughts. Without getting lost in them, we get to know that our mind is creating different stories. So that is also mindfulness. If you get to know that you are in a sound, if you know that you are thinking something, if you know that you are going after some kind of a story, then that awareness, that knowing is also same as knowing your breath. Same as knowing the sensations of your feet. I would say it is much better to know that your mind is creating stories. It is much better to know that your you are hearing different sounds. So while thinking, if you know that you are thinking, that is also being mindful about the present moment. All these thought patterns, all this storytelling goes in the present moment. If we don't get lost in them, then we can become aware. We know that we are going after certain things. But what happens is that we usually get lost in them. We become a part of the story. Depending on that story, we want to create certain goals. So that's the usual way of happening, usual way of our mind. But if we develop this very awareness, then you are creating some kind of a effort, some kind of a skill to be in the present moment, to pay attention to the present moment. And when your mind is in the present moment, you will notice that your mind is becoming more and more calm and peaceful. Instead of achieving some goal or destination or target, it is calm and peaceful in the present moment. Compared to your earlier situations, compared to your earlier status of your mind, you will notice that my mind is happy and peaceful in this moment. It is finding peace inside me. It is not expecting different material things to make me happy and peaceful. Instead, it is happy with whatever I already have. So maybe you don't have to work so many hours to achieve your targets. Maybe you don't have to go after fame or fortune so much. Instead, without them, your mind is happy and peaceful. I remember one story from one of our Satipasala children. So this girl, she was studying in the medical college and she was new to this practice. So after practicing for a few weeks, she was giving her experience. She was sharing her experience and it was like this. Earlier, I wanted to achieve these education goals. I thought when I become a doctor, I'll be happy and peaceful. I used to study so many hours in order to achieve my targets. But after practicing for a few weeks, now I feel differently. Now my mind is happy and peaceful. Now my mind is not going after certain goals or destinations so much. Instead, now I get this idea. Maybe I know I don't need to become a doctor. I don't need to achieve so much fame and fortune to be happy, to be peaceful. Instead, I could become a commoner and just, you know, spend a relaxed, happy and peaceful life. So that was her comment after practicing for a few weeks. And she's asking whether to go after her usual goals, the earlier goals, or whether to create something new in her life, whether to go after something new in her life. So this is a difficult question. If you are a parent, it is so difficult to hear this type of experience. Maybe your ears are bleeding already. So I told her, just let it be. Don't decide right now. Now you have gotten into your place after working so many hours. So don't rush into anything. Just keep practicing, keep studying, And after a few years, we will decide. After a few years, we will see where it is going. So that is the change that we are talking about. Maybe you don't need so much money. Maybe you don't need so much fame or fortune to be happy. Instead, you can be happy inside your mind and become a commoner. If you are happy in your mind, then you don't need so many material things to be validated. So some people, they say that they want to have a good family life. They want to have good social connections. But if you check their schedule, if you see the weight they are giving to everything, then there is a difference. Maybe they spend like 70% of their time at their workplace. 12, 14 hours per day, they are spending at workplace. But they say they value their family and friends more. Maybe they don't spend any time considering about their health. When I say health, let's say physical health, they don't exercise. They don't have time to exercise, but they say they want to become healthy. Maybe they don't have any reservation for their mental health, but still they say they want to become peaceful in their mind. They don't have enough time reserved for their sleep, but they say they want to become healthy bodily and mentally. They are not spending time with their family. Maybe the kids, maybe with the spouse, they don't spend time, but they say that is their main priority. So you can see a mismatch between their schedule versus the ideas in their mind. So you have to reflect about your life and see what are the things that I value. Am I allocating enough time for them? Let's say if you value your work 50% of your life, then you can reserve, of course, about 10-12 hours per day. If you value your health, you have to reserve some time for you to get proper sleep. You have to reserve some time to exercise. Then if you value your family and friends, then you have to reserve some time to spend with them as well. If you value happiness in your mind, then you have to reserve some time to practice some kind of a way to become happy. Maybe mindfulness, you have to allow some time in your daily schedule. So if you value your family 10%, then you can only reserve 10% of your time for your family. If you value work 50%, you can reserve 50% of your time for the workplace. If you value your health 10%, then you can 10% of the time you can reserve for your health. So this work-life balance I'm talking about, it is almost impossible to achieve this balance. Whatever you are going after unbalances this system. Unbalances our schedule. So, of course, although it is easier for me to tell you, when it comes to your life, you find it is so difficult to have this type of a balance. But the purpose of our discussion is to get started. If you want to achieve something, you have to get started. Now somebody in a story, somebody is coming and asking, I want to practice meditation. I want to practice mindfulness. And the student was asking, where should I start? And the teacher, he calmly replied, you have to start where you are. That's the place you have to start. So think about your life. Reflect upon it. And you have to start where you are. Step by step, you go forward and try to create some kind of a balance in your life. Try to create peace and happiness in your mind. And when you do that change, you will realize that I don't need so many material things to be happy and peaceful. Instead, I can just become a commoner and still be happy and peaceful in my mind. Now, this person, he was 40-something and he was telling a story. He says, I have 4 kids and I work 12 hours per day to feed them, to supply them. And one day my wife called and she told me that you have to get your son from the school. I'll pick other 3 kids and I have to go to this concert or something. So on that day, he took a short leave and he went to his son's school and he picked him from that place. Then he went to the beach, spent a few hours with his son. They were playing on the beach, enjoying the sea. And then they walked to a nearby restaurant. They had their dinner. He took his son home, gave him a bath, then read a story from a book that his son loves. And towards the end of the day, his son was saying, Father, this is the best day of my life. So maybe you don't need so many material things to be happy and peaceful. Maybe your family also doesn't need so many material things to be happy and peaceful. Instead, you can spend more and more time with them. You can start living, similar to Pollyanna says. There's a time to live. Maybe you can start living. At least 1 hour per day, you can start living. You can go outside and go for a walk. You can enjoy the wind. Maybe you hear the sounds of the birds. You can go to a beach. You can go to dinner and enjoy a meal with your family. So that is living. With mindfulness, we try to live more and more. If you know while eating that you are eating something, that too is living. If you know you are walking while walking, maybe even through a car park, if you know that you are walking, that is living. If you are happy while sitting and have comfort in your seat, then that is living. If you know you are exercising while exercising, that is living. If you know you are having dinner with your family, that is living. So that type of a change we are talking about. And when we talk like this, they think this is so negative because it is not encouraging us to go after worldly things, maybe material things. It is not encouraging for us to go after them. But actually, when you stop searching, you realize that the nature is taking you on a ride. In Taoism, it is called the flow state. So you navigate according to the wind. Instead of rowing, you start sailing. instead of putting so much force and power, you start to use the natural way of traveling. And when you do that, you realize you can achieve so many things with less energy, less fuel. Your efficiency goes high. Maybe you will achieve even much greater amount within a short period. That is going with the flow, we say. Various ways are there. Sometimes it is said that be like water. Sometimes it is said that be like bamboo. Sometimes it is said go with the wind. So this type of a change we are doing. Usually most people, they spend most of their lives fighting the wind. They want to change the direction of the wind. They don't like adjusting their sails. But when you realize the flow of nature, it is much easier for you to travel with the wind. If the wind is going in the opposite direction, you take a small break. Once the wind changes its directions, you adjust the sail accordingly and start traveling. So this type of a change we are proposing. And when you be peaceful and happy with yourself, you start to feel this vibe of nature. You start to feel the way of nature. You start to synchronize with it. That way, you can achieve much more with less effort and still maintain peace and happiness within yourself, in your mind. So I invite all of you to practice for a while. Reserve some time for peace and happiness in your mind, maybe at least 1 hour per day. Reserve some time and try to learn this skill. Try to develop it. Try and see what you feel when you walk. Try and see what you feel when you sit. Little by little, develop this skill to be in the present moment. And when you do that, you can, of course, practice during your day as well. While brushing, while eating, while walking, while doing some work at home, you can be mindful, you can be aware that you are doing certain things. So that's the way to develop this type of practice. That's the way to develop peace and happiness in our mind. So I wish that this small talk was helpful for you to develop your practice and be more encouraged to practice mindfulness. So with that, we will take some time to do a mindful sitting session today. So what I recommend is that adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable and close your eyes gently. Calmly notice that you are sitting with ease. You have comfort in your seat. You are happy and peaceful in this moment. Since you are happy and peaceful, you don't need any bodily or verbal actions. You may feel certain processes inside your body, like breathing, the heartbeat. So they are automated. You don't need to control them. Instead, you just become aware of them. You just become the observer of them. Now, if you are not happy about this present moment, maybe your mind will go after a goal or a destination, some kind of planning. But be aware, these things are happening. The thoughts are popping into your head. The planning is happening. And you just become the observer of them. As soon as you become the observer, you create some kind of a distance from this process. Again, we can be aware that we are sitting. Maybe you will feel how the breath is going in and out. Maybe you will feel the stomach moving forward and backward. Maybe you will feel the pressure on your back. Again and again, various things will come. Sounds, thoughts, pain inside your body, itchy sensations. Just let them be and become aware of them. Again and again, try and observe your body. Try and be in the present moment. Maybe you will feel sleepy. Maybe different emotions will come. So whatever comes, you just become the observer. You observe them calmly and peacefully. So in this manner, we will try and spend a few more minutes. Now slowly you can open your eyes again. So that comes to end of our practicing part. And I think we can go forward with the questions.
Would you like us to start with the reports then?
Yes, we will go with the reports.
That's right, Bhante. Bhante, today we have eight reports from one person. They have made the reports throughout the past two weeks. What would you like me to do, Bhante? Would you like me to read all the eight reports?
So how many reports in total?
Altogether, eight reports, Bhante. Very, very detailed, nicely written eight reports, but that's all we have for this week. So eight reports from one person.
Okay, from the same person.
Yes, Bhante.
Okay, we will go with the final report, the last one.
Yes,
and if
Bhante.
We get time, we can read one more probably.
Yes, Bhante. So the last report is on the sitting meditation. Would you like me to read both the walking meditation and the sitting meditation, or just only the sitting meditation?
Walking and sitting last two we read.
Yes, Bhante.
Walking and sitting both? The last two reports.
Last two reports. So the walking meditation, which realized that in order to start to walk, it appears one needs to make a determination to make the first step. Thereafter, I was aware of certain conditions that seemed to need to arise in order for a step to occur. The shift of weight to one leg, the tightening of muscles in that leg so as to keep balance when the other leg is lifted off the floor. The need for the shift of weight forward and the knee to bend and straighten, the heel to touch the floor, then sensation of pressure on the heel, and then the side of the foot. The seemingly involuntary nature of some aspects of walking. I then realized my mind had again started having a conversation about how you walk rather than just observing what was happening when walking. I tried then to come back again to just the sensations I was feeling on the soles of my feet with each step. The coolness, the sensation of pressure on different part of the sole of my foot. I found it helpful to focus on a bodily sensation, as was mentioned on Saturday, to come back to the present moment again. I found it very hard to get rid of the constant commentary within my mind of what was going on when walking and what I could write in the report, etc. I kept trying to concentrate again at the sensations I was feeling on the soles of my feet. End of the report.
Okay, the sitting as well.
Sitting meditation, 60 minutes. Primary meditation object, breath. Initial sound of a whooshing noise heard mainly our ear area in time to her heartbeat, I assume. Unable to locate exactly, but appears to be more prominent on the right. Watched it until it seemed to disappear. Started concentrating on the breath. Felt coolness at tip of nostrils. The sensation was of a coolness, pain, pressure, which changed in intensity and character on breathing in, and then this sensation lasted even on the out-breath, but decreased in intensity, and I could feel a very slight pressure sensation on the out-breath at just inside the nose. I tried to concentrate on when the breath actually started, and there seemed to be a momentary pause before the next breath would arise. I realized that although I was trying to concentrate on the sensation of coolness, etc., when breathing in and out, my mind was also at the same time trying to create an image of what was happening. It appeared again to be making up a story of what was happening. Tried to just observe and just momentarily perhaps thought there were times today when the image I had was just a blank space, like reddish orange in color, where I did not have a picture of anything, but was still aware of the sensation, coolness, etc., described earlier of my breath, without the picture of the nose or nostril where I had imagined the breath to be occurring. Sorry, I can't verbalize this very well, but will be most grateful for your advice. End of the report.
Okay, so both reports, you have some valuable information, and we appreciate your energy to submit 8 reports. So we didn't go through all of them, but when we hear the last report, last 2 reports, we can identify the necessary information about your practice, and based on that, we can give you advice. So while appreciating your energy, I would like to say now, when you do mindful walking or sitting, when you try to observe this body, when you try to use it as an anchor, then only you get to see this real nature of your mind. Now you see this commentary is there, and it is commenting, it is storytelling about something valuable. Now it is talking about mindfulness, how to write this report, how to practice. And one person was telling earlier, some time back, his mind started making speeches about mindfulness. He wanted to go in front of a crowd and start teaching mindfulness. And this is what mindfulness is. You all should practice. And the mind is creating whole different kind of a scenario. So that is fine. Now you know this is my mind. This is what I identified as mine. It is said that even your body, sometimes it stays in the same condition for at least a few years, let's say. So you can at least say, this is my body. But when it comes to your mind, it is changing so rapidly, you can't even keep it in a one state for a few minutes. So that's the true nature of this mind. That is how it is behaving. Now get to know this, to observe this within you. That's the highest form of wisdom you can have. Now you know, at least, although I call this my mind, this is how it is behaving. So in your report, you are saying it was so hard to get rid of this commentary. So what I suggest is that don't try to get rid of it. Instead, just let it be. Disclaim the ownership. If you say this is mine, this is who I am, and this is my mind is making these commentaries, then you have a responsibility. But if you say this is not mine, this is somebody else's, then there is no problem. So don't try to get rid of it. It's a disclaim that this commentary is not mine. Just let it happen naturally while paying attention, while becoming aware. So if you have no material, if you have no things gathered, then you don't have to worry about it. If you have something, let's say you have a new car, then your mind is always worrying about this car. Let's say if something happens, if somebody keyed it, then you become really upset. You want to go and find this person who did this. But let's say you see somebody else's car that is keyed. There's no pain inside you because that's not yours. So similarly, when we practice, we try to learn this way of disclaiming. We are saying that this is not our mind. This is not me making these commentaries. And just let them be. And when you do that, you realize there's no pain, no difficulty. Because I have no ownership over this one. So that change you have to introduce into your practice. And when you introduce that, that will make a huge difference. You will no longer try and get rid of them. Instead, just let them be. Let them come and go as they wish. And you just pay attention. Be the observer. That is the next part that you have to focus. That is the next level that you have to go into. And while sitting also, you say, you can't put them into words. So that's a very good sign that you can't put your experience into words. Let's say, if you can put it into words, then that is not the higher level of practice. When you go into higher levels, you can't use words anymore. There are no proper words to use. So that is a very good sign. So little by little, your experience will be something really strange. Something weird. You can try to put it into words. But you may not be successful 100%, but that is fine. 20-30%, we try and explain. But when you try to communicate 20-30%, the people who did the practice, they realize, this is what he's talking about. This is his experience. And this is why he can't use words here. So that's very nice way to progress in your practice. And little by little, you go into the unknown. Now, entire world, you thought that you know everything. But when physics becomes quantum physics, people realize that although we thought that we knew the world, now it seems that we only know 4% of the reality. And the unknown world is so vast, we feel like a tiny particle in the entire universe. So when you meditate also, you start with known things. You start with your breath. You start with your feet. But little by little, your mind will go into the unknown. Little by little, physics will become quantum physics. Now we are in a different level. We are talking in a different language. We are no longer in physics. Instead, we talk about quantum physics. So we invite you to share your experience every week. Just let us know about your last walking and sitting, and that is enough. And your input to the group, to the discussion, is helping yourself as well as the others who are listening. So that's what I have to say regarding this one.
Thank you, Bhante. So we don't have any other reports or questions for today. I would encourage all participants to keep sending us your reflection reports and experiences or any questions you have, so we can use this valuable time to ask Venerable Bhante any questions and progress that's required. We are now going to open the session to any questions. I think I can see one hand up from Dhananjay Dharmaratna. You can unmute yourself and ask the question from Bhante. Dhananjay Dharmaratna, you had your hand up. I was wondering whether you had a question for Bhante.
Thank you very much for giving this opportunity. Respected Bhante and everyone, I have a reflection. One is, as Bhante always tell us, this is an opportunity that we as young people didn't have. Now I'm on the older side. But after I started practicing mindfulness, like being in yourself and the present moment, now I do achieve most of my professional work as well as my personal work at no time. And I used to do more than 100% what I have been doing. At the end of the day, I'm happy. So I think that is what we all want to achieve in life. And I have two concerns, because I have been participating with the Master Practitioners Program. On the third level, I asked this question whether I could practice or share my knowledge with the beginner's mind with my office staff, which was given okay by Venerable Bhante Chandaratna on that day. Now I started practicing. I had two practical situations where I didn't have a proper answer, Bhante, where I would like a guidance towards that. One question was, now when we travel on our vehicle, we used to listen to a song or a sermon. So whether when we listen to that song or a sermon, whether we are in the present moment or we are taking our minds to the past or the future. Second question was, now when we do a practice, a sitting meditation or a walking meditation, we used to write this report, the Kamatahan report. So when you write that report, we are taking our minds to the past, what we felt during our practice. So is it okay for us to go back to our past and write this report? So those are the two questions that I didn't have a proper answer to give it to my staff. Thank you very much.
Okay, so good to hear your experience regarding the practice. And as you said, when I started, I was 29. So till that age, I didn't hear the word mindfulness. And nowadays we are teaching kids who are 7 years old. So in a way we feel jealousy because they are getting this message so early in their life. And I tried to, you know, and justify myself, telling myself that I got it at the proper time, that was age 29. Buddha got it at the same time, so that is fine, blah, 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 I'm telling. But we have to really see how these children turn out to be when they grow up. When they hear this message at the age of 7, and when they practice for a few years, maybe by age 12 or 14, they will usually go in the world's way. They become young people and they would go after material things. But still, when they develop this practice, they have that quality in their mind. So we have to be patient for a few years, maybe 10, 15 years, and see how these people perform when they become 30 or so, 30 something years, then we can see for real. We can see what is the change that it is creating within them. But for us, maybe it was a little late, and you are saying you are even older towards the latter part of your life. That is fine. When we learn this, when we practice this, we become young at heart. And it is true that even our body is becoming younger. Because if you have a healthy mind, it is natural for your body to become healthy. Body is this just the projection on the wall. The projector is your mind. So if you have a healthy mind, as a result, you will get a healthy body. And you will feel young at your heart. Now, when we teach somebody, new questions will come. It will evaluate your level of practice. Without practicing, we can't really teach this. When somebody is talking, if the person listening has practiced, then they can read whether this person is talking from the experience or whether this person is talking book knowledge. So this is something you have to experience. And when you experience, you realize that although they tried explaining with words, this is what it is. You can't really put it into words. In earlier report, somebody was telling that although I tried my best, I couldn't describe this experience. So that is the true nature. That is the difference between the paragraphs, the textbooks about salt versus the taste of salt. So that difference you can identify with practice. When teach also, various questions will come. If not for anybody, teaching somebody will benefit you. Because when you start teaching, you get a lot of questions, people ask you questions, then you have to develop your practice into a whole new level. So both of the questions you have, I would say they are questions from lack of practice. So when we get to know mindfulness, we identify even listening to a song, this mind is lost. Even writing a report, I have to reflect on the past. So if you just disclaim everything, okay, hereafter I am not moving, I am not breathing, I just stay in the present moment, that is not practical. So you have to start somewhere. Writing a report is good, because when you do this practice, although you practice, unless you share with the group, it is not validated. You have to share with the group. And when you share, they can also feel whether this person is really practicing or whether this person is lost somewhere. So certain things you have to go with the process. You have to let the automated system take control. Some people, when they start practicing, they can't even do their usual work. They can't function because they want to put SMS to everything. And even having a meal, it takes 1.5 hours for them. That's not the way. Instead, you just function your visual way and try and be attentive. While planning, let the planning happen and see that you are doing this type of activity. While enjoying a song, you can observe what is happening. you can see one part of your mind is enjoying this song, maybe doing some kind of a commentary with the words. Then you can see how maybe bodily movements are adjusted according to the song. So just become the observer. If you try and, you know, let go of everything at once, that is not practical. So we have to start somewhere. When we start, we say, okay, walking and sitting, we start. Little by little, we try to take this practice into our day-to-day life. Throughout the day, we, again and again, we get lost. But we try to adjust ourselves, correct ourselves, and again, start our practice, remind about mindfulness. So that's the proper way. Otherwise, you will just, you know, thinking, whether it's okay to write reports. You are thinking about report writing time, but while thinking this also, you are lost. So it is okay to function as usual while developing your practice step by step. Some people, they question about multitasking. When I usually drive, I drive, I listen to radio, I talk with my family. All these things are happening. Is it okay? Or should I do at least only one thing at a time? Then you have to make everybody quiet. You have to stop the radio. And you have to just focus on the driving and the road. And that is not helping. What we suggest is that you function your usual way and try to be aware that these things are happening. I'm getting lost again and again. But I try to adjust myself. I try to correct myself. So that's the way, right? So it is just think that it is okay to write reports. I don't have to focus everything. I don't have to correct everything. Writing reports helping me. Maybe while thinking about them, this, I'm also lost in thoughts. Listening to a song is okay. You don't have to behave so sharply all the time. Maybe watching a program is okay on TV or computer. Going on YouTube is okay. We don't want to, you know, prevent you from enjoying your life. So maybe there, you remember there was this TV series on Rupavahini, I guess. It is called Kung Fu. And so this student, he comes to his master and asks, I see sometimes, I see you are crying. Sometimes I see you are laughing. This behavior, I don't appreciate that much. Then the master asks, why do you talk like that? Then the student answers, because we should behave ourselves. We should say like monks. A monk shouldn't laugh or cry like this, he's saying. Then the master answered, the idea of the practice is not to live your life less. Instead, the idea is to live your life fully. When you are happy, you laugh. When you are sad, you cry. You don't have to create a burden, put it in your baggage, and take it home. Instead, when you're happy, you laugh like a child. When you're sad, you cry. That nature you can see in children. It is said that a child, usually probably like age 2, 3, they laugh around 400 times per day. And the adults, they are down to 15. So people asking, what happened? Some people say life happened. So that's innocence of heart we are seeking after. That innocence we are going after. When you experience that innocence, you will notice when you are happy, you laugh. When you are sad, you cry. When you are angry, you shout. So that is the real nature, no hidden agenda. You just be authentic to your mind. So what I suggest is that practice more. Practice more. When you practice more, these questions will naturally go away. Otherwise, we can gather and just discuss like this. Because even discussing, I have to recall Kung Fu, maybe around 20 years back. So that is okay. We can function as normal human beings and still be happy and peaceful in our mind. So practice more and more. When you practice, you can realize answers for your questions on your own.
Thank you, Bhante. We have Anupama who has raised her hand. Anupama, you can unmute yourself and ask your question.
Thank you, Lushani. Avasarai Bhante. So my question is around goal making and mindfulness. And what you initially said about how we are constantly creating new goals to achieve and how this prevents us from being in the present moment really resonates with me, and I can very much identify with that. Now my question is, from a practical point of view in life, you know, sometimes we do need to make goals. In a sense, some goals are more wholesome. For example, I have a goal to practice mindfulness more and become more mindful. So I was wondering, how can we go about the task of continuing to have goals in our life, which in a sense we need without it interfering too much with being in the present? I hope my question makes sense.
Okay, yes. So that's a good question that we get usually, because when we say, it contradicts with your way of life, right? So that is natural. But what I suggest is that if you have peace in your mind, then although you plan, when you fail, you won't feel so frustrated, so much anxiety within you. Some people, they plan, they go for targets. And when they fail, they have no hope anymore. They don't want to continue their life. So what I suggest with this practice, of course we plan, of course we create goals, but there is no disappointment in your mind when the goals are crushed. The usual way of mind, when the goals are crushed, you feel frustrated. You feel anxious. You want to do something, harm yourself. That is how usually people behave. But if there is no desire in your mind, if there is not so much craving in your mind, then although the goals are crushed, you won't feel so much frustration. That is why I suggested, when the wind is against you, you just take a break. It is a naturally given break for you. And after resting for a while, you realize that again, the direction of the wind has changed. Then you can adjust yourself and start navigating again. So what we suggest is that not to prevent creating goals or plans or targets, but instead introduce present moment to your life, introduce real happiness to your life. And with that, of course, you can move faster. Even that earlier person was saying, with mindfulness, I feel like I achieve more and more. within a shorter time period. That's because your mind is not so much lost in the target. Instead, it has its goals. It has its destinations. But you are calm and peaceful. That is how the productivity goes up, not the other way around. So Inidabu is giving this funny explanation about rabbit in that cartoon. Rabbit has a brain. He can think. That may be the reason he doesn't understand anything. So trying too hard, thinking too much is the way towards anxiety. Of course, you can plan certain things. Of course, you can achieve goals. Of course, you can have goals, destinations, that is fine. But let's say the planning fails. The goals are getting crushed. The direction of the wind is changing, but you should be skillful to adjust your sail and start navigating again. You become like water. It takes the shape of the container. It won't fight the shape. Instead, it adjusts as per the container. Usually, water is low-key. It's gathered in unpopular places. But when the time is right, most erosive force on earth. So that is the way. Just have plans, have goals, go for targets, and see when they are crushed. Am I worrying? Am I creating frustration, anxiety in my mind? So this target, it won't suddenly become calm and peaceful. With time, with practice, you realize that when the plans fail, earlier it took me 1 month to recover. Some people take years to recover. Now, starting from next week, I can start moving. I can start my walk again. I can start navigating again. And the people who are good practitioners, they don't become lazy. They don't just sit keeping their eyes closed. Instead, they work really hard. They try, but when they fail, they don't have frustration in their mind. When they feel, they are not so much angry. Instead, they start navigating again. So it is truly traveling with the wind. When the wind is right, they travel very fast. When the wind is against them, they take a break. So that's the efficient way to travel. That's the efficient way to win your life. Otherwise, like Pooh says, if you try too hard, if you think too much, that is a way towards difficulty, anxiety. So have goals, have destinations, but develop practice parallelly and see with practice, how can I face situations more easily? When troubles come, don't run from them, instead face them and see whether I have strength inside me to face these situations compared to earlier time. Little by little, you will realize that whatever comes, your mind is accepting, your mind is starting to move forward. It is starting to keep its next step. So that's the way of practice. That's the way to develop. Otherwise, if we forget about everything, if we prevent from doing anything, I can't even do this program because I am a monk. I have let go of all the worldly things. The lay life. So even doing a program like this is probably having some kind of a target or destination or a goal. But that's not the way we try and learn as a group. We try and plan and do our daily thing. But still, if we have peace and happiness in our mind, we are okay. And with time, what you realize is that although you think you have a choice in this life, when you go forward, when you reflect back about 10, 15 years, then you realize, although I thought I did these things, maybe it was entirely not my choice. You thought you found the best person in this world when you get married. But after a few years, maybe a decade gone by, then you wonder whether this is the best person for me. You thought your children were perfect. But after a few years, maybe when they become teenagers, you realize whether this is the proper way to handle them. So more and more you mature, you get to know, although I thought I had a choice in this life, maybe it wasn't entirely mine. Maybe somebody else was involved. When I say somebody else, not like some other person, it's like more like the nature, the way of things. Certain things, they were already written. When you reflect back, although you think, you feel that you made that choice, when you really think about them, this might not be what I was searching for. So you have a choice, but there are other parts as well. You can keep goals, but there is no promise that you will achieve those goals as you wish. Maybe even after achieving a goal, you feel this is not what I was searching for. And this is a never-ending search. So while searching, we try to remove this difficulty in our mind, this craving so much, and just create some peace and happiness. So that should work parallelly. And one day you will realize, although the goal's getting crushed, I don't feel that much sorrow inside me, that much anxiety inside me. Instead, my mind is calm and peaceful. I can recover much faster. So that is the way. Try and continue and see. It is good that if you can share your experience after a while.
Thank you, Bhante. That was a very clear explanation. And it makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhante. I don't think there are anyone else with their hands up. So I will hand over to Namantha to conclude the program. Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Lushani, for conducting the questions and answers session. Apologies to the Bhante and the audience. My microphone seems to have gone for a small nap during my mindful sitting for some reason. Bhante, is it all right if I go through the guide for mindfulness so that if there's anyone new joining today, they will have benefit?
I think that we missed that part, no? Because we should have gone through it before the question. Since we are past our time for today, we will skip. Starting from next week, we will do it at the end of the practicing part.
Yes, Bhante. Then I will proceed to this is the end of the session. So I would like to thank Venerable Bhante for taking the time out of Bhante's busy and precious schedule to provide us with valued, insightful guidance to practice mindfulness in mindful walking, mindful sitting, and in day-to-day practice. So thank you, Bhante. And I would also like to thank all the participants in the audience in Zoom and also in MixLR for participating and trying to gain more knowledge and practical wisdom to continue this practice. Thank you. So with that, this is the end of the mindfulness session. And if you have any questions or comments with regard to the program itself or how the program is being conducted, Now you can raise your Zoom hand and let us know. We will let you speak on any other questions. I think since there are no questions, I would like to do a quick screen share of the activities of Nisarvane Forest Monastery. I will share the website, so you can see on the screen now from Zoom the website of Nisarvane Forest Monastery, and you can go into this and have a look and understand further details on Nisarvane activities, programs and sessions are there. Then this the Satipatthana Foundation, which is training about mindfulness to the youth of Sri Lanka and all over the world. So you can go to satipatthana.org and gain an understanding of the programs there, and you can start participating in these.